about palm trees. You notice that palm trees are all over the coast, right? Palm trees have a neat fact. Their root system and half the tree, half the body length of the palm tree is underneath the ground. And when the storm comes in, it'll bend them all the way to the ground. But they won't break. And they'll come back up. What we're talking about when we say you're anchored, that means you got to get further down in Christ than you got to get up. Amen? I mean, you got to let Him get so rooted and grounded and deep inside of you that when the storms do come, when troubles do come, and they will come. They will come. Heartache, pain, trouble, it's going to come. What are you going to be rooted and grounded in? Whoever requested that song, God bless you. And thank you for singing it, Scott. My gosh, I needed that. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. God told me to preach this like He said, "Don't act like you're somewhere else and you don't know nobody." I get to go to a lot of places and preach, and I love it. Because sometimes you can walk in and shoot up the joint and leave. Speaking of that, men, if you want to go to a men's conference, August 17th, Somerville, Georgia, will be here. We'll leave somewhere about 4 o'clock, 4:30, or whenever we can. We're going to go down to Somerville, Georgia, and do a men's conference down there. If you want to go, let us know. That's August 17th. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay the hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.' And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." We're going to take up the story in about 35. I want you to hear this. It's kind of neat where Jesus just left. Jesus had just left Decapolis, where He cast the demons out of a man. And the whole town came out to see Him and ask Him to leave. But then He goes to another town, and there's so many people around Him that He can't hardly move. I want to preach this straight to you today. Jesus will move on if you don't let Him do what He's going to do. The gospel message, it will go across seas and reach somebody else if you won't let it touch you. The gospel message will leave a church and go to another church. The love of Christ and the Spirit of God will leave here if you don't want to have it, and it'll go somewhere else and it'll bless somebody else. Man, Decapolis, they were sitting there and they said, "Get out of here. You're ruining our businesses. You're ruining our way of life." Jesus got in a boat and went to the other side. And everybody there said, "We want you. Do you want Jesus or not?" I'm going to be honest with you. You're sitting in these pews. Guess what? I don't know who you are. I don't know what circumstances you're in. But I do know this. Jesus is making an attempt to change your whole life. This is the part of the message for a lost person to say, "You know what? I'm sick and tired of running from Christ because He's been trying to save me my whole life. I need to surrender and give in and let Him change my life." He's a gentleman. He's not going to bust your door down. God is not going to invade your home. He's going to stand and knock and ask to come in. You better let Him in. If you're wondering why you're having so much trouble in some areas of your life and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, that is the reason. If your job's not working out, if your marriage is not working out, if your finances are not working out, if your situation with other people are not working out, it's because you have not let Christ come in, because Christ is everything you need. The world will tell you that it's got everything you need. It has absolutely nothing that will satisfy. I hate to tell you this. It's a shame on me. But let me tell you something. I spent 30 years of my life trying to fill myself with the things of this world. None of them satisfied. But I tried Jesus one day. I tried Him. He said, "Taste and see." He said, "Knock and open." And guess what? I found out He is good. I've never wanted since I met Him. I've never been thirsty since I met Him. But be careful this morning. Be careful. You're standing in a dangerous place. A place where God's inviting or asking or trying to get into your life. And you can take one more Sunday and say, no. I won't let Him in. I still want to do it my way. I still want to watch what I want to watch. I still want to listen to what I want to listen to. I still want to act the way I want to. I still want to go after my own aspirations and my desires. And you know what? He might just let you go. He might just go to somebody else. It's kind of funny as Americans. Sometimes we look around and say, we kind of think we might be better than somebody else. The Africans or the Mexicans or the South Americans or these. Guess what? A lot of times they'll open their hearts a lot faster than we will because they have a lot less distractions than we have. But let me tell you something. God's really good, ain't He? Because even you, He's taking you away from all your distractions. He's taking you from all the world out there and set you in here for a period of time to hear again that He loves you and wants to change your life. Again! Well, it's too late for me. I've done too much. I've done messed up. I've went too far. Absolutely not true. You can't go too far with God not being able to save you. Let me tell you something. It's a fact. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't die for one sin. He didn't die for some sins. He died for all sins. You just got to be willing to come down there and say, God, take them all. Take the one that I struggle with. Take the one that I'm in trouble with. I love this story because the ruler of the synagogue comes and bows to Christ. Don't we get into a place sometimes where we think we're rulers of our own destiny, a ruler of our own people, a ruler of our own time, our own families, but guess what? There is one with more authority than us. Jesus. And you know what brings us to that fact a lot of times? Our circumstances in life. I guarantee this ruler of the synagogue probably had some doubts and apprehensions about Jesus until one day when his little girl was dying, he said, I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I need Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. Until you do this, until you surrender to Christ, there's going to be things that continue to happen to you that break you down and bring you to Jesus. Sometimes we're praying people out of the very thing that God's doing to bring them to Christ. That's a hard thing to say, ain't it? You ever watch somebody lay flat on their back? You ever seen somebody be real sick? You ever seen somebody get some bad news and they don't know Jesus? A lot of times we say, God, heal them. And God says, I'm trying to heal them. I'm trying to heal their physical body, but first I want to get their soul right. Because they're in dire need of a soul change, not a healing in their body. Their body's been fine most of their life. That's why they wouldn't give in to me. If you're praying for somebody to be saved, don't be surprised that God brings them through the place where they have to get saved. It's hard to watch people hurt. It's hard to watch people go through hard things. But it'll be even harder to watch somebody be cast off into eternity for eternity. So you might feel like you're a ruler sometimes, but bend your knee. Bow your head to Christ. The people that won't make it into heaven are the people who won't bow. It's not the worst of the worst or the best of the best. It's the people who won't bend a knee and bow their head and say, Jesus, I need you. Sometimes we categorize Christians. I'm a good one. They're not a good one. I'm a big one. I'm a better one. I'm a great one. No. If you're saved, you're in the body of Christ. We're all dependent on one thing, God's grace. There's no great Christians in here. There's one great Christ. You didn't become a Christian because you were great. You became a Christian because you repented and asked Christ to put His righteousness on you. We won't stand before God and say, look what I've done. We will bow before Christ and say, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for loving me while I was a wretched sinner, when I was no good. On my worst day, you get the greatest gift in your life on your worst day. The day that you have to admit that you're hell-bound and useless is the day when God says, I'll give you righteousness and eternal life. And if you have not done that, you're in the most dangerous place in the world this morning. Because you're hearing the message, but are you heeding the message? This ruler got it right. He came and bowed and he said, "My daughter, are you in a situation this morning that's brought you to God and you're seeking after Him because you're desperate? Are you desperate this morning for Jesus? Or is this just another Sunday to you? I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I got things going on in my mind and in my heart and my life that I'm desperate." Somebody said, "Why do you come to the altar?" "I don't come to the altar for one reason. Jesus. Jesus, help me. I'm desperate. I don't want my answers. I don't want my solutions. I don't want my outcomes. I want yours. I'm not the ruler of this synagogue. I'm not the ruler of this church. God, I am following you. I need your help. Will you come?" Or have you prayed yet that God would just come and show up? I love verse 4. It says, Jesus went. You know, Jesus ain't going to turn you down. He ain't going to turn you down. I'm about to really preach. Y'all ready? Verse 35. "While he yet spake, there come from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain woman which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Man. Jesus was on his way, but some girl who had an issue of blood wouldn't let him go on. And Jesus stopped. Have you ever been desperate for Jesus to do something in your life and it seems like he's doing something in somebody else's life? Jesus is showing out in our life. Jesus is doing this. Jesus is doing that. Jesus is healing people. I need him to be here. Come on, hurry up. My girl's passing. Come on, I know hers is important, but mine's life-threatening. My whole world's upside down. My house is falling apart. My marriage is in trouble. My business is a wreck. Oh my gosh, things are happening. Hurry up. I don't know if your prayers sound like my prayers. Those are my prayers. Jesus stops. "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your issue's been dried up. Go on your way. Be blessed." Come on. Can you see him parting the crowd ahead of Jesus? "My daughter's dying. And Jesus is on the way, but I feel like he's not going to be on time." And some of the greatest pauses come here, right? You ever had to pause your faith? Some of y'all are looking at me like, "I don't pause my faith." Yeah, okay, superstar. Forgot who you were. All of a sudden, somebody runs up to him and says, "Your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Stop with Jesus. Whew. Your daughter's dead. Stop with the Jesus thing." Puts a pause on things, don't it? Does it? If you said, "Well, maybe I won't go back to church. Maybe I'm going to stop praying. Maybe I'm going to stop reading my Bible. Maybe I'm going to stop because it don't seem like Jesus answered the question the right way." There are some people in this room that are absolute heroes in faith because there's a pause in their faith. They prayed and they asked and they begged and God didn't give them the answer that they wanted and they stopped for a moment, but then they continued on with Jesus. They're still here. They're sitting here. They're praying with us. They're singing with us. Let's be real about it. We sing, "In the eye of the storm." They went to the storm, the eye of the storm, and they came outside the other side of the storm and the storm didn't. It leveled everything. "God, I don't know if I want to go with you. God, I don't know if I can keep going." But you kept going. And he sees it, and I see it, and other people see it. It's not the people who stand up and shout and run and holler. It's the people who keep coming back when you didn't get the answer that you thought you were going to get. Jesus says something contrary than what the other person said. One person said death. Jesus says, "Be not afraid." "I'm afraid. I'm scared." Men, I'm telling you, there's some men in here. It's hard to be afraid. Because you can't break down. Because your wife's watching. Your kids are watching. Your family's watching. And you act like, "Well, I don't want to break down." But you're afraid. Jesus says, "Be not afraid." only believe. God, we make Christianity out to be so big and so different. You know what it comes down to? Believe. Can I give you something simple? Can I really help you this morning? You want to know who all is going to be in heaven? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know who's all going to be in heaven? I'm going to tell you. The people who believe. Period. One word. The people who believe. Wait a minute. Is Billy Graham going to be there? Yep. And the person who laid on the side of the street and begged crumbs his whole life. The thief on the cross who didn't do anything but believe. Paul will be in heaven, not because he wrote 14 epistles in the New Testament, not because he went and planted new churches. It's because he simply believed one day. Oh, wait a minute. You want to do something else funner than that? You want to know who's going to be in hell? The people who didn't believe. The rapist? Yes. The grandmother who cooked cookies and said, man, you kids are great, took care of the family, raised them, done everything right, never lied, never stole, never cheated, and never accepted Christ. And never believed. That's going to be who's in hell, and that's going to be who's in heaven. The people who believe, the people who don't believe. You went through that storm, you came out the other side, and you still believe. You know why? Because we're not believing for us for a temporal fix. We're believing for an eternal fix. Let's get to the meat of the message, even though that's pretty meaty. Amen. And he suffered no man. Let's go back to 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John and the brother James. James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth a tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come into the, he saith unto them, why make you ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Check this out. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in to where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talith kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Oh, it's going to get good. Everybody in here just say to yourself, shut the door. Shut the door. Amen? You ready? Shut the door. Sometimes you're going to have to shut the door on some people. Amen? You're going to have to shut the door on some people that are opposite of what Jesus is doing. See, wait a minute. Wait. These people are there for a funeral. They're there for death. Guess what? They brought life to a death party. Somebody's got to go. Amen? If Jesus is life and life shows up, if life shows up, death's got to go. Amen? Unless you want to keep death, I don't. You know what he said? You got to go. Life showed up. We can't have a death party when life shows up. Eternal life has shown up. Jesus said, I'm here. You got to go. No. Okay, peace showed up. Well, when peace shows up, hatred's got to go. Bitterness got to go. Strife's got to go. Oh, God. Some of y'all need to start shouting. And some of y'all need to start closing the doors on some people in your life, even if it's just the door to your mind. Over this week, I've had to go into my mind and shut the door on some people. Because the peace is here, we can't have no more bitterness. If you want bitterness gone, you let peace come in. You let Jesus in the house. And you shut the door on bitterness. Amen? Forgiveness is here. Jesus is here. If Jesus shows up, forgiveness shows up. Some of y'all, I hate to tell you this, you got to forgive some folk. Open the door and let forgiveness come in and shut the door on unforgiveness. But they haven't done what I want them to do yet. It doesn't matter. I hate to tell you this. It's not about them. It's about you and God. Why should I forgive them? For your peace. For your joy. For your happiness. What if they never do right? I don't care. Shut the door on unforgiveness.
Shut the door on no peace. Shut the door on death. I like this. When faith walked in, when faith walks in, guess what's got to leave? Sight. Tricked y'all. I want to say doubt too. When faith shows up, doubt's got to leave. No. What's got to leave is sight. Somebody's going to leave here learning something tonight. That's good. Amen? Hey, look at this. Guess what? The opposite of faith is sight. Not doubt, sight. Because sometimes, see, when you got faith, you can be looking at something, and even though it is not. Oh, hallelujah! Preach, preach, preach! I hate that. Man, that's just good stuff. Because the girl's dead. But faith's there. You're looking at a dead thing that ain't going to stay dead because faith's there. Faith said, get out of here because you're believing she's going to die and stay dead. I'm believing she's going to live, so get out. What you're seeing is not what I'm doing. Our faith, I'm going to give you the scripture. Our faith ends in sight. Amen? So we're looking at some woods, dude. He ain't never going to get off drugs. Get out of here. Get out of here, sight. Because I'm believing that God's going to use everything in His power. Every up, every down, every place He goes, everything she does. I believe every situation is going to work out to her getting sober, to him getting sober. If he has to go to jail, he will get sober. If he has to go to the hospital, he will get sober. If he has to worry, it's going to change. So I can see it, but I don't believe it. And faith walked in, so stop, you got to get out of here. Some of y'all need to, God. Preach! Some of y'all need to get in a mirror and say, you need to get out of here, sight, because I ain't who I'm looking at anymore. By faith, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and everything's becoming new. I love this. When Jesus walks in, everything changes. God ain't afraid. Man, that's so politically incorrect. That's so messed up. You need to go. Clink. Could you imagine those people? Sitting outside the door. In fact, Jesus, just shut the door. What are they doing in there? But praise God, it doesn't matter. What's going on is a girl's going from death unto life. And if we're seeing people who are coming out of eternal damnation into eternal salvation, what we're doing in here, sometimes you have to close some out of your mind and out of your actions where God can work. It's kind of weird that they were there to mourn and end up crying and laughing. You know? It's a sad situation. Yeah. Sad situation. They're there to mourn the death of somebody. You ever been to a funeral and watched some people? Sometimes people get more attention at a funeral than the person that passed away. They're trying to make a scene. And there, and Jesus said, hey, she ain't dead. Ha! You were crazy, Jesus! Whoa. I thought you was broken up. I thought you were upset and heartbroken about what's going on. Looks like you're enjoying the situation. You're enjoying death, unforgiveness, bitter, no peace, no joy. Looks like you're having a good time here. That's not where I want to be anymore. I want Jesus in this thing. Dead something, man. Drop a pin in here. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was 12 years old, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightway that no man should know, and he commanded that some should be given her to eat. In the other part of the scripture, it says they came and brought her meat. Has anybody ever been to the hospital where you come out of surgery and they cook you a big T-bone steak? Huh? I mean, have you ever done that? You know, they just got through and they said, do you want the filet? Do you want a filet? Or do you want just a center cut? Or what do you want? Ribeye? New York strip? Well, the body's weak. It can't handle it. Apparently, Jesus brought this girl all the way back to death. He's like, go in there and cut off a big piece of steak. She's going to be hungry after the trip. No, y'all got to get there with me. This is the fun part of the message. She's sitting up and she's cutting into the steak and all of her family and the people who were on the outside who were screaming death, death, death now have to say life, life, life. And so it's my message. I'll preach it how I want to. A couple of weeks later, or a couple of months later, or a couple of years later, when she's down there at the bus, And she's sitting at the bus stop, and everybody that was screaming death is going, that's the girl who was dead. That's the girl who was dead, and that's the one that Jesus came. We all gave up on her, but now she's alive. Some of y'all, do you have this any kind of spiritual connotation for us? Yeah, you're the one who was dead. You're the one who everybody gave up on. But now when you show up, you're the one, hey, he was spiritually dead, but now he's spiritually alive. He's sitting in church. He's not dead. She's not dead. She's not drunk. She's not high. She's not a prostitute. He's not a liar. He's not a thief. He's rolling with God now. We said death, but God said life. He'll quit one day. He'll quit. He'll give up. He'll go back to doing it. Did you just wait? God, I want to say it so bad, I think I will. Let all them haters eat my vapors. Write it down. That's, Donnie, that's good for tractor talk too, friend. When you're out there dusting those crops and you drop that hammer and all of a sudden the stuff starts flowing out the back and you're spraying down them crops, you go, hey, tell all them haters to eat my vapors. Everybody on the mountain said, I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah! I ain't going to give in. I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to stop. I ain't never given up on God ever. Why? Because he never gave up on me. He pursued after me for 29 years. And I finally gave in. Do you think there's anything on the face of this planet that I would give up Jesus for? No. And I got another thing for you. There's a spirit of God that dwells in here that won't ever give up anyway. I've quit in my mind. I've quit in my body. But the Spirit of God said, we're not done. I got two questions for you this morning. Are you going through some stuff as a Christian and do you need prayer? Come and pray. If you've never received Christ, this is what you have to do. You don't have to do it up here, but this would be a great time to do it. You come up here and you repent of your sins. Tell the Lord that you believe in Him with all of your heart and ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And then you need to look for the evidences of that's happening in your life. So why do you look for evidences? Because there's going to be fruit in your life of salvation. That means things are going to begin to change. Can I tell you what the biggest one is? And I'll close. The things you used to love, you'll hate. And the things that you used to hate, and you'll probably never, ever say this again. Man, I have to go to church. You'll be like this radical and that radical and these radicals back here. I get to go! Sunday. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Where do you stand with Jesus this morning? Where do you stand with God this morning? I don't know why you have not ripped through the aisle and already on this altar and praying. I don't know why this message hit several people already. I know that it pinpoint hit several people right in the heart and the chest this morning. You need to be on this altar praying. I mean, some of you that are not saved, you should have been already up here saying, God,